Well, this passage is a particularly powerful one for me, and I do pray that the Lord will speak to every one of you. There's a lot at stake, so much at stake. Here am I in my 67th year, and seems that it's a very long time, but actually it's made up of lots of little tiny moments of decision, isn't it? You make so many decisions, little moments. I remember meeting a guy in the early 1970s. He'd driven from South Wales up to Heathrow. He was flying to New York. And whether he misjudged the length of the journey or the traffic or whatever, I don't know. But when he got to Heathrow, he could see his aeroplane on the tarmac, but he was there too late to board it. And so he'd driven all that way, all that time, all that effort, but he'd missed his moment. Then I remember when I was a student, one time we played rugby down against Trinity College Carmarthen, and the bus was leaving to bring us all back at midnight. We all piled on and got back to Swansea, and then some of us had a very late breakfast about midday the following day, and in came Di. He'd missed the bus. He'd walked all the way from Carmarthen. He'd walked all night from Carmarthen. It was winter. You know, he could have frozen to death. It could have been fatal. He'd missed his moment. You see, the bus was leaving at midnight, and he hadn't got there in time, and nobody noticed that he wasn't there. You know the situation here. The Lord Jesus is coming into Jerusalem for the last week of his life. He's in fulfillment of a five-year-old prophecy, sitting on this donkey, riding in. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the fact that when Jesus is told to tell his disciples to be quiet, hush, he says, if they did shut up, the very stones themselves would cry out. So, in other words, Jesus is warning, this is a special moment. This is a very key moment. The moment that some have been longing for, the Messiah. But it's a key moment. And if they miss this moment, they won't get another moment. Some of you may remember, those who are older, 1967. An oil tanker called the Torrey Canyon was in the Bristol Channel. The captain was suddenly alerted. He'd been having a snooze. He was suddenly alerted that they were heading for the rocks. He came and took the helm and desperately tried to redirect the boat, the ship. But he'd forgotten that he'd set it to automatic pilot. And so 30 seconds were wasted when he eventually then switched the autopilot off and managed to swing the tanker around. He couldn't miss the rocks. Thousands and thousands of tons of crude oil just poured into the water, you know, destroying wildlife, polluting the sea. But also, the captain went on trial. And he was a broken man. And he kept saying the same thing. If only I'd had 30 more seconds. If only I'd had 30 more seconds. He realized those 30 seconds were the crucial. They were the difference between missing the rocks and smashing into them. Well, here in Luke 19, the King of Kings is coming. And for very many there, this was their last chance to make him Lord. And here I am preaching now. I don't know if it's my last sermon. I heard yesterday, my favorite theologian died a few weeks ago, and I heard his last sermon yesterday. I deliberately managed to download it, and it was on such a great salvation, how important it was. And I don't know if this is my last sermon, and you don't know if it's the last time you'll ever hear anything. But as Jesus comes here, the King of Kings, this is their last chance to make peace with God. And that's why Jesus says, if we'd only known this day, what would bring you peace? But it's too late now. If we'd only known. He doesn't say, well, never mind, if you don't know what's going to bring you peace today, there'll be plenty more opportunity. He doesn't say that. It's now or never. It's important. If you'd only known what would bring you peace, he says. But they'd missed their moment. It's too late. Just like the captain of the Torrey Canyon oil tanker missed his moment. Just like the guy who'd driven all the way up to Heathrow missed his moment. Just like the Dell student who missed his bus and missed his moment. I remember as a teenager, there was one of these dramatic reconstructions. They're very popular now, but they were new then, of this chap in the Yukon, you know, right up in the north of America, Canada. His husky dog came home, and his friends realized something's wrong then. The husky dog has come home on his own. So they went out on a search party, and they find the guy frozen to death. It was minus 40. They find him, and by his side, they find a little pile of twigs and three dead matches. And they said, on this document, this reconstruction, they said, he would have known he had a very limited time. Once, if he's going to stop now to have a rest, sleep, because he's exhausted, he knows at most he's got three chances to light the twigs, otherwise he's going to freeze to death. And so they said, by the time then he failed on the third, he would have known. He'd missed his moment now. There was now no hope. I saw a tiny bit of a documentary last week. I'm not sure what it was all about. Oh, I think it was about the Queen Mary liner. There was this chap talking. He was 8 years old. It was 1938. He was living in Austria. He was a Jew. Ludwig, his name was. And they heard that Hitler was coming into Austria, and of course he was going to round up the Jews and kill them. So, being a Jewish family, they fled, and the father got all the money he could together, and they bought these tickets for the Queen Mary to sail to safety in New York. And there they were on their way, and as they get off the train now to get to where the Queen Mary was, the Gestapo were there inspecting everybody's passports. And they say to this Jewish family, no, you've got to wait. Because they know that if they keep them long enough, they'll miss the ship and won't be able to get away. And there's this chap, he was only 8 at the time. And he said, you know, they kept us hours and hours and hours. He said, but my father went to the telegraph office and the Morse code thing, and got them to Morse code the ship, begging the captain, will you just hold the ship with 2,000 passengers on? Will you just hold them until we get there? Because you are our only hope. Anyway, after about 4 or 5 hours or whatever it was, the Gestapo said, you can go now. And so they rushed as fast as they could down to the quayside. The captain had held the ship 6 hours. 2,000 people. Imagine you're going on holiday. The plane's ready to take off. They say, sorry, we're just going to wait. What are you waiting for? We're waiting for some family. Everybody would be irate, wouldn't they? But the captain waited. And so this 8-year-old boy, who's now an old man, he remembered the name of the captain. I remember him, I'll never forget him. He said, my family never forgot him because we owed him our lives. He made sure we didn't miss our moment. Here's Jesus entering Jerusalem, and he knows how crucial this moment is. He knows how desperate is the plight of the people there, even though they may not know it. I remember a chap trying to convince me 20-odd years ago, I was a very young Christian, about this story. He said, oh, can't you see the great sense of humor that Jesus had riding on a donkey? The reason he was saying that, I think he thought I was a bit too serious and a bit too dour. You know, lighten up like Jesus had a great sense of humor. He said, look at him riding the donkey. I don't see Jesus weeping with laughter here. He's weeping because this is serious. He's weeping because judgment is not far away. It's never far away. And sometimes for individuals or for a group of people, there comes a last chance. A last chance. When the Lord God Almighty offers salvation for the last time. And if that offer is rejected, he never will offer it again. It's over. God has finished. His patience, enormous though it is, runs out. He will not strive with men and women and boys and girls forever. You know that, surely. I mean, I've seen this. I've seen people come this close. They are a moment. And they choose not to take their moment. And, you know, they've been bothered about their guilt, briefly. Or they're bothered about the standards in society or something. And they think about God, briefly perhaps. But they miss their moment. I remember one of the most challenging things was a few years ago, I was preaching in the bar in the university. And they hadn't booked the bar, so it was very difficult. I find it difficult to speak to people anyway, but they just said, oh, you stand in the corner there and just preach. And there were a few Christians sitting in front of me kind of to encourage me, but there was this group of boys in the corner, about six of them, sitting at a round table. And as I was preaching, I was thinking, now, I've got to get some of these to turn their chairs around. I mean, they're just talking to each other. I'm a distraction. But eventually, after about 4 or 5 minutes, one of them, I could see him gesturing to his mates, and he turned his chair around so he could look at me and listen. And then another one turned their chair around. Now, this was God speaking to them, you see. This is God bothering them. Now, maybe briefly, maybe it fizzled out. I don't know. What about you? Have you missed your moment? Are you in danger of missing your moment? I think it was last week I watched, there's a program, a repeat, Andrew Marr's History of Modern Britain. I commend it to you. I watched it a couple of weeks ago, and I got to be honest, I was ashamed to be British. Because Andrew Marr pointed out that the concentration camps were invented by British politicians. It wasn't the Nazis in Germany, it wasn't Stalin in Siberia, it was the British in the Boer War. And thousands of children and women were just, well, they just froze and starved to death. And it was a British invention, a British. I was absolutely ashamed, disgusted. And then he came up, he showed us this brilliant, in inverted commas, scheme. This is the turn of the century now, 1901 or whatever. Eugenics, it was called. This is what the brains of Parliament and the movers and shakers of society said. We want to improve Britain. Let's wipe out all the infirm and the inferior. Well, I was disgusted. I think, well, this is what Hitler did. But Hitler did it 30 years after we in Britain had thought of doing it. The sheer selfishness, the arrogance. And then, as I was watching it, I had to ask myself this question, am I significantly better than them? And I'm not. Are you? You better than them? I know I am not better. That's why I became a Christian in 1988, when I realized what I was. I saw my need. I saw myself. I saw my sin. I saw the me monster that dominates my life. And that's why I'm still a Christian this morning. Apart from Jesus Christ, I'm lost. Aren't you? I'm full of sin except for Jesus Christ. Have you come that far? Seen yourself? You know, as I said, I've seen people come this close and miss their moment. The Lord's been gracious. They're bothered about their sin. They start to think about eternity, heaven, hell. Maybe it's real. Maybe God is there. Maybe there's a devil, whatever. Sometimes they start to come more regularly to church. But they don't repent. They don't turn to Christ. For a while, Jesus is dominating their thoughts, and they can't get him out of their heads. But they don't do anything about it. For a while, God seems perhaps real and terrifying. But they drag their feet, they dawdle, and they slowly, any interest in salvation fades away. I've seen people like this. They see salvation slip through their fingers like sand on the beach. And either they walk away and they say things like, it's all rubbish. Or they walk away and they say, no, it didn't work for me. Or they stay in church and they sit there like dead wood in a live church. Or they stay in church and they're lifeless. The point is they miss their moment. You know, if you were to ask here, if we could, you know, zoom in and ask Jesus with a microphone like they do now these days on the news, Jesus, what are you crying for? Why are you so upset? Why are you so emotional? Why? Do you know what Jesus would have said? I love them. I love them. I know what's coming. I love them. But Jesus, can't you hear them praising you, the crowd? But Jesus knows it's wafer thin, the reality of the praises. Pretty soon they're going to be saying, oh, we'll have Barabbas. Pretty soon, same people. But he loves them. He cares. He loves them even though their sin breaks his heart. Our sin breaks his heart. And only a miracle can change us. Only a miracle. And Jesus knows that for many, many, many in hell, the two most oft repeated words are, if only. If only. How many people will be saying that now, screaming it, if only. If only I'd trusted him. If only I had my time again. If only. How long has Jesus, with arms outstretched, waited for you to come? Don't mess about now. Don't miss your moment today. Amen. Let's sing the wondrous story, and wondrous story it is, of the Christ who died for me.